Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Don't filter the word. I mean, get comfortable. It's crazy, some of the things that people will say. And then what do you do when they say, and God said, but God told me? We have got to be more discerning than that. Anyone can say that. I'm very careful. You don't hear it from me often. And when I do, I will usually say, I believe the Lord said, and I'm going to do this because I believe it's the Lord. But I'm very careful because I can be wrong.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Join us as Pastor Troy teaches us today about the importance of knowing the truth. You have to know the Word of God in order to properly judge the fruit of others, especially teachers. Christ warns us to examine the fruit of teachers in order to spot a false prophet. It's our responsibility to examine and discern. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 15, with part one of our message entitled, Do Not Be Deceived.
Today we're in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 29. Talk about not being deceived, because unfortunately, we have to worry about that. God hates deception. God is about truth, because the truth is good. He doesn't like lying. He doesn't like things being covered up. Because whenever something is being covered up, whenever you have to manipulate, whenever you're hiding something, there is something wrong. That's why you're doing that. That's why you're hiding it. You feel it won't be acceptable. You feel it won't be right. Sin used to be hidden. There are certain forms of sin today that they used to be hidden. But now, there's almost an arrogance about certain sins. We have to remember, it was hidden, and there's a reason that it was hidden. It wasn't acceptable. But what we like to do is we like to make something acceptable. Then I don't have to hide it anymore. So, we want to talk about not being deceived because God hates deception and because truth is so important. A.W. Tozer said this, to believe on Christ savingly means to believe the truth about Christ, the right things about Christ, and there is no escaping this. In other words, you can't just preach Jesus to somebody with some different definitions about who he might be and expect that that is going to lead towards salvation. We have to know who he is. His word reveals who he is. And then in believing in Jesus for who he is, receiving that salvation, that gift of eternal life, then lives are transformed. There's a fruit that begins to be produced in the life of somebody who's genuinely believed and received and begun to follow Christ with all of their hearts. Something changes. Something happens. You don't make it happen. It's not like, okay, here's the list of rules. Follow these rules now and we'll see the fruit. No, that was the law. The law doesn't convert the heart. The law can help us to walk in certain ways and we can look very moral and very upstanding and very good and noble. But it doesn't convert the heart. But the Word of God says is perfect, converting the heart. The Word of God comes in. It's truth, not deception, not false, not a bunch of rules. It is truth. It pierces and it convicts and it changes and it allows us to follow Christ because we get to know Him. Jesus brought truth into the world. He said of Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Standing before Pilate as he's about to go to the cross and be executed, He told Pilate, I came to bear witness to the truth. To which Pilate said, like many in our culture today might say, what is truth? You got your truth. You got your truth. No, Jesus was saying, no, I came to bear witness to the truth. There is truth. How this happened, it's not up for interpretation. Look around at the world. How this came about, it's not up for interpretation. Yeah, you can have your ideas and your philosophies. Don't call them truth. I came, Jesus said, to bear witness to the truth. And then he also said, you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Understanding that there's something beyond this life, that this isn't it. Oh, how we would all be on medications for depression and in different treatments if this was it. But because we understand that there's more, we have something to look forward to. We have hope. Now, I don't want to make light. I just visited my aunt, who's going through a difficult time right now in her life. After years and years and years of having a difficult life, it wore on her emotionally and mentally. And just as you can break your arm and hurt yourself chemically inside, there are things that go out of whack and happen. So, you know, you can break your arm. You can also get damaged physically and emotionally. Those things are real. They happen. I'm not saying that someone who experiences depression, oh, they just need the demon cast out or something like that. There are things that do go wrong in our bodies. It's a result of sin. But I think much of what we experience, well, is the result of sin. It's putting ourselves in situations that are overwhelming for too long a time. And that's what I see with many people who finally break, is they've lived and made the wrong decisions, or maybe they wanted to make the right decisions but couldn't stand up and make the right decisions, and so they just live with the consequences of it, and finally they break. That's living in a sin-fallen world. But Jesus said, I came that you may have life, and life abundantly. So today, Jesus wakes his listeners up to a very important truth. And that truth is, there will also be deception. Sad but true. There will be false prophets, false teachers. And so we need to learn to inspect the fruit. Very persuasive individuals, those teachers. And we need to be careful about what we take in, what we hear, what we listen to. There will also be false followers. I think we're going to be surprised. Who is there? And who isn't there? There are going to be some who talk great games who aren't going to be there. Because it's not about talk. It's about a walk. It's about living that life. It's about following Christ for real, not just in speech. And there are also false foundations upon which we can build our lives. Things that we trust in or build our lives on that can crumble. And so let's begin in verse 15, talking about the false prophet, the false teacher. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Here's what he's saying in summary. They're going to be false teachers, so look at their fruit. That's what he's saying. They will come in sheep's clothing. The idea is they're going to look good. They're going to look good. It's not like they come and go, I'm a false teacher. I have a doctrine. Who needs Jesus? I'm just going to teach you. I want you to ultimately follow me. Everything's going to be about me. I'm a nice guy. Ask my mom, would you like to follow me? They don't do that. They talk about Jesus. They'll point to Jesus, but all along they gather you to themselves. They lift themselves above the people. They talk highly of themselves. Like, you can't live without them. And we have to be very, very careful, because not everyone who waves a Bible or has a radio program is necessarily speaking the Word of God. And maybe they're speaking from the Bible, but they're not speaking with the heart of God. I think the heart of God becomes evident The more you get to know Him, the more you recognize it. It's a good heart. It's pure. I know sometimes some of you will say, it's kind of like you're talking right to me. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. And yet, there are some, it's called sniping from the pulpit. Sniping. You know what sniping is? It's where you aim and, you know, pew, sniping. So that they know, maybe, you haven't been giving lately. So I'm going to teach a little bit on giving. Because giving's been down. It's the holiday seasons. So God's put it on my heart. And you minister and you begin to snipe the people, controlling them. You're using the Scriptures, but you're using the Scriptures manipulatively. We have to be very, very careful. The Word is truth. But an overemphasis or a wrong emphasis of the Word is dangerous. If all I do each week is talk about giving, it's true. You could never come up to me and show me, if I do it right, that I'm wrong in what I'm teaching. But if I hammer you every week with the same thing, that's wrong. Because the Bible doesn't talk about giving every week. Serving, whatever it might be, you name it, I can emphasize it. Every week, we will have the best church at that. If I preach giving every week, those of you who get tired of it will leave, but the others will come, they'll be giving. They could be poor, and they want their tenfold, so they're going to continue to give. We have a great giving church. Yeah! Whatever I preach the most will have a tendency to have a church that shapes that way. What I want to do as a teacher, and what I should do, is teach what's here. But the false prophet, the false teacher, the one who's in it for themselves, teaches what they want to teach. They can find it anywhere. And they begin to teach what they want to share, what they want to do. And everything in that ministry becomes about them. A famous healing evangelist would go around and shake his Bible. And he would tell you all that you can claim, all the healing that is yours. Wave his Bible and say, it's in the Word. It's in the Word. He says it consistently. But I challenge you, with anyone who would wave a Bible and say it's in the Word and not show it to you, to check it out. See if what they're saying is really in the Word. Also, make sure that it's in the Word in context, because I have heard verses given to me to support something that were taken well out of context. That's not what they were saying at all. And so we want to be careful. Jesus even warns that there are going to be false prophets. Look at their fruit. There's a famous woman who's around today, teacher, who once taught, I was just listening, and she taught that she wanted to hear from the Lord. Sounds all nice and spiritual. I just want to give Him everything. I want to follow the Lord with my whole life. And so I went to the Psalms. I was feeling bad, and I went to the Psalms, and I played on my DVD or whatever, the Psalms. I just wanted to listen to it. So I laid back, and I started listening to the Psalms, and then I fell asleep on the Lord, she said. I felt so bad. And then when I woke up, I said, Lord, I fell asleep on You, and I didn't listen to Your Word. And she said, and the Lord just spoke to me. Be careful when you hear these kind of phrases. And the Lord spoke to me. Be careful. Not saying that doesn't happen, but be careful. And she said, the Lord spoke to me and said, I needed you asleep. Because while you were awake, my word was being filtered through your fears and through your anxieties. And so I needed to put you to sleep so I could get my word deep into your heart. Now, I took that as a pastor to its ultimate conclusion, and I thought, that means those who fall asleep in church are actually getting a more pure form of the message, right? Lay out, guys. Don't filter the word. I mean, get comfortable. It's crazy, some of the things that people will say, and then what do when they say, and God said, but God told me. We have got to be more discerning than that. Anyone can say that. I'm very careful. You don't hear it from me often. And when I do, I will usually say, I believe the Lord said, and I'm going to do this because I believe it's the Lord. But I'm very careful because I can be wrong. My heart can be so longing, so wanting that I am fooled. So I try to be very careful about the God said things. There are times where He's very clear. And here's what I find. When God is clear, all I have to do is follow the Lord today, and what He says comes to pass. I don't have to sit wondering on my deathbed if what He said was true. It happens every time. That's when I'm faithful to Him. I follow Him. And so all you have to do is follow the Lord. But when people start to say, God said, start checking out the fruit. When people are involved in ministry, you want to get involved in that ministry and support that ministry, check out the fruit. It says, inwardly they are ravenous wolves. I know we get the idea that inside they're evil people. I would be able to see that. But that's not necessarily the case. You know, wolves are simply selfish. They're ravenous because they're selfish. A wolf will kill for the sake of killing because they enjoy it, because I want to. They're not always hungry when they go and pack and destroy something. Sometimes they just want to exercise, you know, combat exercise, make sure they're in game shape. That's just the heart of a wolf. Very, very selfish. These individuals are selfish. They're thinking about themselves. They want you to think they're thinking about you, but they're really thinking about them. Romans 16, 17, and 18 says, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned. So there are divisions that take place in these lives, but they're not divisions, me versus the world. Well, they are me and us against them. They're not for us, so let's start to separate. Okay, but I'll do that as long as we're standing on biblical ground and not your ground. You, as a leader, teacher, I'm pointing to myself now here. I do not separate you from the world so that you can follow my agenda. That we might follow Christ is the point. We need to follow Christ. But there are, like I said, people who try to get us to follow them, and we need to be very careful. So he said, I urge you in Romans 16, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Never trust a teacher just because you like their personality. Oh, they got a good heart though. Yeah, he says some weird things every now and then, but he's got a good heart. We know his heart. We need to be careful. You will know them by their fruits. Now this can take time and examination. You got to watch them. You got to listen. Hear what they're really about. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, 1 Timothy 5:24, some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment. In other words, you can see them coming. But those of some men, their sins, follow them later. You don't see the fruit. You don't see the result until after a time of watching them. See, we need to learn how to inspect fruit, because looks can be deceiving. There's a bramble bush in the Middle East, and the fruit on that bramble bush is poisonous, and yet it'll produce fruits. There are a couple of types of fruit. Some of the fruit looks like blueberries. You might mistake them for blueberries and feel you can eat them. But they also have one where the fruits look like grapes. You think, nothing looks like grapes but grapes. And yet the bramble bush produces little fruits that look like grapes. And these things can make you sick or kill you. We need to learn to examine the fruits out there before we just take them in. And the same thing is true on a spiritual level when we listen to teaching. So what fruit should we be looking for in that ministry? I know I'm putting myself under a microscope. Tell us what we should be looking for. Well, one, the fruit of the Spirit, and this is key, this prepositional phrase, in the followers. Not the leader? Oh no, not the leader, because the leader is good at fooling people. He looks good, looks spiritual, looks great. So yeah, you look at him, you're going to be fooled. No, No, look at the fruit. Look at the lives of the people that follow that instructor, that teacher. Look at their lives. What's going on in their lives? What should there be? Well, the fruit of the Spirit, for one. Love, joy in the Lord, peace, patience, kindness. Now, these things aren't, they're not going to be perfect. You have to look. Have they been following a while, or are they brand new? You know, don't look at a person, a one-time visitor, and go, they're impatient. This isn't a good church. No, you need to look at the followers. Look at the people. Look at the leaders. The fruit of the Spirit, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Is there self-control in the people? Are they learning this discipline? Not only the fruit of the Spirit, but is there a conformity to God's Word taking place in the people's lives? God's character. Do you see God's character more and more in the lives of the followers? God's character? Yes. Purity. A lifting up of holiness and purity. That's the idea of being set apart. Being set apart for God's usefulness and glory. A clean instrument. Not tainted by being involved and mixed into the affairs of the world and the love of the world. As the leader living above the people. In other words, poor church, wingtips, nice vehicle. But here's why I have the nice vehicle and the wingtips, to show you that if you follow the Lord, look what you can have. Now you poor people, give! Give to the Lord! Sow your seed! See, that is not the heart of the Lord. We need to be very careful. Look at the leader. Are they serving? If they hammer you with serving, are they serving? Are they a servant? Do they preach it or do they teach it? What I mean by teaching it is, are they an example? And Peter, he said, shepherd the flock among you, not lording over them, telling them what to do, commanding them, but being an example. Be an example to the people. Is that what they're doing? You will know them by their fruits. Financial responsibility. Integrity. Financial integrity. More ministries go down as a result of financial unintegrity or irresponsibility than anything. It's why churches have a hard time getting loans today. I didn't know if you know that. You think, oh, that's God's people. Yeah, well, God's people aren't trusted with money because they're financially irresponsible. So is there a responsibility? Are they being modest? Are they glorifying God? Are they paying their bills? Those kinds of things. Those are important. Is the leader controlling? In other words, lording over the people. Is he trying to control you? I mean, some will go so far as to tell you you shouldn't do anything without talking to them first. You know, don't do... Now, like Mike, he's our assistant pastor, and he just can't run amok in the church. There's an order there. But I'm talking about, I mean, just the normal person who comes in, they want to get married. Don't get married until I tell you, I'm your shepherd. I'm overseeing you. I got to protect you. Don't do anything without talking to me. We have to be very careful of personalities like that. Teaching is very, very important. Very important, and a high accountable position and responsibility. James said in James 3:1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive stricter judgment. There is a higher level of accountability and responsibility for teaching and for what you teach and how you teach and how you are an example in your teaching. We try to have high standards for positions of teaching and influence.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is also available in the iTunes Store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us, and please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through God's Word. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Storms begin, but somehow I survive, and I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.